Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning, and I thank you for your word. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for living in our hearts as believers in Christ and for being in our presence. And I pray, Father, that you will accomplish your work and that you want to do through this message. And may we know, Father, that you are presenting this and that you are using this for your glory and for your praise. Father, in all the ways that need to be prayed for this, I ask that you, dear Holy Spirit, would intercede and pray for that too. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing our series of messages. This is our third message out of a four-part series message on how to be a perfect Christian. Of course, that's a sarcastic statement, right? Because none of us as Christians are perfect. But today's message title is Remember to Smile. I want to look at two different verses real quickly that you've heard before. I want you first to look at 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. We're familiar with that, most of us. I have to tell you, in an honest confession, that verse always scares me. I'm always a little bit uncomfortable and yet challenged at the same time by God to take a good look at myself. And the second verse is like it. It says in James 1:23-24, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And that's just a clear statement from Scripture that sometimes we're in denial. I'm in denial with the amount of hair that I don't have. You know, I'm in denial with the way, and I can fill in the blank in a lot of different areas that I'm in denial. But in all seriousness, there is a denial that happens in people's lives when they look at themselves honestly. When the Holy Spirit reveals things to us that we need to look squarely in the eye at that are uncomfortable, it's easier to walk away and ignore that and forget that than it is to address that in and before the Lord. So these two scriptures talk about looking at ourselves in a mirror and seeing who we truly are. A little bit of a testimony here. I can tell you, as a pastor, I know that God biblically holds me and every Christian leader accountable to their actions. There's a higher accountability for Christian leaders than there are for other Christians, because the more influence you have on people as a Christian leader, the more accountability you have for the things that you do before the Lord. But even though that accountability for me is higher due to my actions as a Christian leader, it doesn't change who I truly am. That's where I'm trying to go. I'm held accountable to a higher standard because I'm a pastor, but it doesn't change who I truly am. In fact, it magnifies who I am publicly. And what I mean by that, in essence, is that I can be in Kalinga, and many times, someone will say, "Hey, Pastor Terry," and I'll wave and hi. Isn't that uncomfortable when you do that and you don't know who you're waving at? What was that person's name? That type of thing. Going for walks through Kalinga, cars would go by and they would wave or honk the horn, and I wouldn't know who it was. I'd try to look through the windshield, and there was a reflection on the windshield, can't see nothing. And yet, feeling kind of bad about it, but at the same time, I want to say hi back, because they were willing to say hi, right? Even the police officers would wave and say hi. So that was pretty cool. And so a public figure like that is held more accountable, and that was what I'm trying to say. But even as a pastor, especially when I was a younger pastor, that being in a group of other pastors, I could sit there and watch. I am typically the type of person that is quiet in those type of settings, and I'm not real bold about what I have to say or what I'm thinking, but I'll watch these other pastors, and I can almost see them in competition with each other for leadership. It was kind of frustrating, but at the same time, it was a lesson to learn that these pastors were trying to maintain their sense of identity as a pastor amongst pastors. And granted, we do need pastors that can lead other pastors as well. But the point that I'm trying to say is that there's a temptation for pastors to maintain a certain image. I'm the pastor. You know, whether we're in a public setting or whether we're in a private setting with other pastors, there's a certain image there that we seem to maintain because there's a sense of obligation to do so, and yet we are still who we are in our own hearts and in our own lives. And so whether we're in a community or whether we're in that setting, the challenge for me was just to be myself, even though I might feel a little judged at times, even though that may or may not have been the case. The fact is that my personality as a pastor is pretty much an open book. Most of you know me, I'm pretty open. People see me as an open book. There are others that we know that are closed books. It's kind of hard to open up the cover, right? But even though I'm an open book, the point is that I am still guarded for who I am down deep. There's a certain guard, and we all know about that guard. We've looked at those two scriptures that we read about looking into the mirror, seeing who we are, and again, I'm saying that I'm guarded as a pastor, but also as a Christian, as an individual. There's a sense of guarding there because we want to be self-protecting. But the two things that we learned from those scriptures that we read are that we must be willing to be known for who we are. There's a certain vulnerability that comes with that. But we are to look at ourselves and see who we are and be willing to accept who we are. And the second thing is, we must be honest with ourselves and see our true self. And so know who we are and be honest with ourselves as we see our true self. And of course, you and I, everyone in this room included, that hears the message, knows that we all want to see ourselves from that good perspective. It's hard to look at the things that we fall short on. And so God knows that we're not perfect, amen? I mean, I say that not in jest or in cliche, but God knows. He's our Father. He obviously knows that we're not perfect. But here's the thing. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. And there are a lot of times that Christians sometimes will think that they have to fit this certain mold to make them look like the perfect Christian, because to look like the perfect Christian helps us to hide who the real Christian person is inside. And even the depths of who we are, we don't just flay open to everybody all the time. In fact, very rarely. How often do we want to give off the air of being messy without actually sharing our imperfect life with people? And I'll explain that. For instance, we want people to know that we have an authentic, or that we are authentic, that we have authenticity as Christians. So we allow them to see little things about us that aren't good to make us look, so to speak, human. I'm like everybody else, right? And that kind of gives that authenticity to people. Oh, okay, I can see that little shortcoming, and it's okay if they saw that shortcoming because I can handle them seeing that shortcoming in me, because that little shortcoming is not that big of a shortcoming, if you will. But it's not really, sometimes not really, we don't expose the shortcomings and the depths of the bigger things that are in our lives with other people very easily. I want us to watch this video that kind of relates to that. And it's a video called Stained Glass Masquerade. So smart. sometimes we can feel like a little island, and we're afraid to death to allow people to see who we are on that island. That stained glass masquerade is also entitled Plastic People. It's common in churches. Sean used to say, one of our Sunday school teachers that was here, used to say, reinforce this, be careful using Christianese, okay? No offense, it's a play on words, okay? It's don't speak in a language that you don't, that others don't really relate to. But we have a tendency to pick that up because it's part of who the image and how we present ourselves as Christians. We know the vocabulary. And again, if we're not careful, sometimes that can be the exterior of who we are rather than the interior that needs to be known. And so in American culture and social media, we've contributed to the desire to look like perfect people. We can customize what we put on Facebook. We can customize what we put on, what's that other one? Instagram. We can customize whatever we want, say whatever we want, to make us look the way we want to look, rather than who we are sometimes. And so we need to realize that authenticity is more valuable than what we present. But the reason why we oftentimes present ourselves in a mode that is expected but not necessarily the reality, it's because we fear rejection. So have you ever been in let's say you were in your college class, in one of your classes, maybe let's say a philosophy class. I love philosophy. Loved that class in college. And you had a thought in your head, but you're kind of hesitant to raise your hand and share that thought because you don't want to look stupid. But then somebody in the classroom raises their hand and asks the same question. And then it's out. And you think, why didn't I do that? And that's kind of where we're coming from as we enter into this message, is that we often are afraid to look stupid or falling short of who we think we're expected to be, when in reality, God expects us to have that transparency, and of course, with caution, with discretion, as God would lead us to do so. As others have the same questions, so others also have the same situations, or they may have the same problems in their lives. And because of fear, they don't express it. They don't reveal the truth about their situations. But one of the things that we need to remember is that if God opens up a door and gives you the freedom in your spirit and in the spirit of Christ between a relationship between, let's say, two Christian brothers, two sisters in Christ, or vice versa, or intermixed, whatever, where you have that freedom to share yourself, there's a door that opens there that God honors as he leads. And I want to underscore that, as he leads, to share those truths about each other, because we're sharing situations in our lives that we might be surprised to realize that they've experienced those same situations, or they've gone through that and passed that, and God can orchestrate things in such a way that surprisingly, when we're open, that God will provide this, say, intel that will help us to deal with those situations or get past those situations or even to heal from those situations. But oftentimes, again, out of fear, we are afraid of being rejected when we're open, because that's a very vulnerable place to be. And most people don't like to be vulnerable. So raising our hand and taking off the mask or revealing our true selves and situations might just be what is needed to reach or help someone else. There's a connection. You've been through that too? Yeah. Let's help each other. Prayer support, encouragement, insight, wisdom, victory, you name it. That's what we can do. It's important to realize that God will bring people intentionally, it's underlined, into our lives that we can be vulnerable with. When we begin to identify with someone and we know that you have that camaraderie, if you will, in the Spirit of Christ, where you can feel free to be vulnerable, to be exposed in your who you are, there is a blessing when that is communicated that is rich, that God honors when it's in him. So God knows who we are, and we're not hiding anything from him. You know, I've had the thought before, why pray if God knows what I'm going to pray before I pray? Because God wants me to acknowledge it to him so we can work on it together. And that's what the importance is in that. He knows who we are. We're not hiding anything from God. And he knows who can help us in our lives. He knows who can relate to our situation. He knows where we are. And he knows how to orchestrate people in our lives to support us, to love us, to encourage us, to help us see insight, and all those types of things that will help us to be able to be comfortable to take off those external masks and reveal who we really are inside, or the burdens that we might be carrying, as illustrated in that video that we watched. In James 5:16, in the New King James Version, it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." There's a specific guideline here in this passage of Scripture that God led James to write. And that is that we can confess our weaknesses, our faults, our failures, our troubles, our burdens, whatever it is, to another Christian, that they can pray for, we can pray for each other, okay, so that we can be healed, and the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It needs to be somebody you trust that is godly, that is right with God, that walks in fellowship with the Spirit of God, that you can have the freedom to entrust into the maturity of that Christian individual to be there for you as you open up to them. Another passage of Scripture to look at is this. Make this your common practice. This is out of the Message Version. It's the same verse, excuse me. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. You see, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other is something we do not want to do. But God will orchestrate those opportunities in our lives through the relationships that we develop, where circumstances will come together where all of a sudden those particular issues are on the table in your mind, and God the Holy Spirit is leading you and confirming with you, and you know in your spirit that the Spirit of God is orchestrating it through that whole environment and that whole relationship to reveal those truths to each other for the sake of healing. For the sake of, some people have scars in their lives that they're scars, they're behind, you move forward. But at the same time, Satan uses those scars as artillery against us at very vulnerable times in our lives. But if we know that we have, that God has put someone in our life or others in our lives that we can be open with about those things, we might get the ammunition and the encouragement and the support and the understanding that we need to be able to heal ourselves and to stand that much stronger. That is something that God wants us to have in our lives. David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, had this to say about what James said in James 5:16, quote, "Confession to another in the body of Christ is essential because sin will demand to have us because sin will demand to have us to itself, isolated from all others. Confession breaks the power of secret sin. Yet confession need not be made to a priest or any other imagined mediator. We simply confess to one another as appropriate. Confession is good. But listen, but must be made with discretion. And an unwise confession of sin can be the cause of more sin." He's correct. The more that we feel like we're in our own boat, our own island, our own situation that nobody can relate to, that nobody can understand, the more we are drugged down in that boat
to where we will begin to sink in that situation. But when we realize there are others that are in the back end of the boat with us, so to speak, that we know that can understand with compassion and understand truly, then there's a sense of a, not just a blessing, but that exposure breaks strongholds because it's humbling, it's revealing, and it's reassuring. Satan wants us to keep our sins, faults, flaws, needs, and problems secret. Satan wants us isolated from others. Therefore, we will be less effective as individual Christians and as the body of Christ. Did you catch that? If we keep it to ourselves, when God is leading us to be open with someone that we trust that's mature and right with God, then we are hindering ourselves from being the effective person that God wants us to be as an individual and corporately as a body of believers in the local church. So a lot of people don't like this subject of authenticity. Authenticity is okay. Yeah, I like people that are authentic. Our human nature can identify most of the time authenticity as opposed to not being authentic with one another. But the part about being transparent is something that most people don't like. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. Why? Because, like the scripture says, confess your sins to one another. It's something that we don't relish doing. It's not comfortable. It's not something that we want, but it's important. Why is this transparent authenticity important? Here's the key. Without authenticity and transparency, we cannot love actively as God intends us to. We're there for each other. We are a family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are there to actively intercede or be there for one another, to not just simply express that love, but to love in all earnestness, to love each other with that earnest heart. If you don't know the burdens, if you don't know the needs, then how can we actively reflect that love for each other? And those things that are really weigh you down. Let's look at 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In the International Standard Version, it puts it this way. Little children, we must stop expressing love merely by our words and manner of speech. We must love also in action and in truth. Is it easy to tell someone you love them? Yeah, generally. It's a nice thing. It's a good thing. It's easy. Okay? Is it an easy thing to say all the things that people want to hear to make them feel better? Yeah, that can be easy. And that's what he's talking about here. I'm not talking about it. God's word is talking about it. We're not supposed to love in word and in tongue. How we express these things and what words we say or how many times we say God bless you or this or that, because that's not what God wants. God wants us to be actively involved in ministering to each other and carrying each other's needs. Nothing wrong with telling someone God bless you. Don't misunderstand that. But when it's a habit, that's a standard, that is just almost becomes more cliche than it does from the heart because it's part of your vocabulary. I've found myself in times when, because I heard it a lot at times in my ministry, where praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, off the top of my tongue, praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with praising the Lord and saying praise the Lord, but I recognized in my own thinking, I just said that to say that. I wasn't thinking about what I was saying. It became a habit rather than a reality of the heart. And that's so important for us to understand. In Galatians 6:2, Paul tells us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Did you catch that last part? So fulfill the law of Christ. This is a law. This is a command. This is what God expects, because God doesn't want us carrying our burdens alone. I got a weird picture in my head. I've seen ants carry maybe like a crumb. Got one ant carrying this crumb in its mouth. But I've also seen a dead bug, and I've seen 1,000 ants carrying it, right? It's that burden isn't on the one ant. I know it's gross, but it's a reality. Get over it. But that's kind of a picture of what I'm trying to communicate with you. Is that God doesn't want us to be overweighted. We know the passage of Scripture where it says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. But in God caring for us, not only spiritually does he minister to us, but very tangibly, he intercedes for us by giving us those people in our lives that we can be truly exposed for who we are and know that we're safe with them. Those are rich friendships, rich bonded friendships. You understand that before we wrap up this message, you understand when Jesus says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you? I'm going to ask Wyatt to come up here just for a second. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you any questions. I'm not even going to hurt you. But turn around. Okay? Now this is, I'm carrying this burden. Okay, now turn around and meet you this way. Don't bend over. Just turn around back to me. Put your back.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I've got this weight on me like this. And this is biblical. This is historical. Not where I'm going, but you're biblical. Okay? So, if this burden is tied on to me, and it's heavy, it's wearing me down. What they would do in biblical days, they would put the burden on the person behind you, and then they would tie it on them, and then they would carry it. Then they would carry it. Carry it for me. Now go away. Thank you. You see, Wyatt carried my burden. I transferred my burden over. Now, biblically, when Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, it's a picture of casting our burden on God, but God is saying, look, we are to share that burden with one another so we can carry the load together. If you're not in that boat alone and you're with someone else that can understand, relate, respect, and still love you unconditionally, no matter how bad that situation might be that you're dealing with, you have a sense of relief, a sense of peace that says, ooh, finally, somebody that understands and still loves me. That is a rich gift. And if we all experience that with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, then that's what we ought to do. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing burdens is lifting the weight or load off others. See how important that example was? Thank you. Okay? It's not a weight or burden we're comfortable sharing. It's not we're not talking about sharing the little burdens. It's okay if you know this thing about me. You know, I lie once in a while. You know, I'm human. That's easy to share, right? Just say that. Okay, it's not pretty, I don't like it, so forth. The little things, I'm not talking about the little things. We're talking about, but sharing the heavy burdens through the righteousness of God. When God the Holy Spirit in a relationship gives you freedom to share what's on your heart, he has orchestrated that opportunity, and you know that God's hand is in it. So bearing burdens is lifting the weight or load off others. Authenticity within your own ability reaches to the needs of others. Bearing burdens is lifting the weight or load off others. Authenticity reaches to the needs of others. Transparency welds and heals broken hearts. There have been people that have been abused in their lives one way or another that have scars. But sometimes when you know someone else that has similar scars, you can understand each other and lift each other up, and you can pray for one another. You can be confident with one another. You can continue to develop that healing process that in turn gives a freedom in Christ that becomes a new avenue, if you will, in life. It's like
it's like unhooking the chains a little bit of the past scars in our lives. God wants us as his children to be there for each other. He wants us to be a church family that's got each other's back. I've seen in our church family someone in need and someone else stepping up and helping in that need. Those physical needs, that's important. I could tell you testimony of various things that I've seen over the years of how people have interceded of their own doing in other people's lives. But when we intercede or are there with that open, willing heart, when people communicate the depths of the burden of their heart about an issue that is not pretty or an issue that has crushed them, and they have that safety, that's when we carry a burden that's even deeper than the external physical needs. And we bring a sense of relief and freedom by the power of God working in and through that relationship. How can we bear each other's burdens if we don't know what they are? And you know the answer is in allowing ourselves to develop those personal, interpersonal relationships with one another to a deeper level, we have opportunity to be able to share more of who we are because God has shown us and orchestrated the situation to say, I have paved a way that you know that you have trust and love here and you can be open. So we can help each other and encourage each other. Only by pursuing authentic, transparent relationships in Christ can we encourage, restore, and bear each other's burdens. We're called to bear each other's burdens. So, to be the perfect Christian, remember to smile. Now, you can take that two different ways. There's the smile of standard. You know, there are those that I've seen, and forgive me that I've seen, that I question the external. You know, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, all this stuff, all the time. Now, the question is that the standard of their external presentation, or is that the genuineness of their heart expressing it? God knows. But we, and that can be considered the perfect Christian, right, by the external example. So to be the perfect Christian is to smile. You have to ask yourself where that smile is coming from. But we're also called to rejoice because of the work that God is doing in our lives, fixing our imperfections. If we know that God has taken care of those things that have weighted us down emotionally, spiritually, or whatever, and God has interceded, and that begins to heal and become light and no longer something that affects us in a negative way in our life, isn't that a joy? To rejoice. This burden is not there like it was. Praise God. And we can let go of that burden and give it to the Lord. That's when we smile more. And so therefore, share the joy of your reality with others. In other words, as opportunity is given, share your heart as God orchestrates it. And we know when the Holy Spirit is doing that. We know when it's okay to be transparent. And just share with one another what God puts on your heart to share. And then let that joy that you have in the Lord be reflected in our external conduct, that others will see that and they'll say, what's going on with you? God is working a great work in my heart. He's interceded in ways I never expected. And the burdens that once drug me down and isolated me or depressed me or whatever aren't there anymore. And that's why I'm smiling. So praise God for that, right? Right? Just go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, I depend upon you, dear Holy Spirit, to do your work with this. Definitely something that challenges us. Definitely something that is not comfortable to us. And yet I pray that by your work in our heart and our own spirit, that it's something compelling to us for the sake of getting out of that isolation and getting the love and support, no matter what, from other brothers and sisters in Christ. I praise you, Father, that that's your intent, that's your law, that's your command, that we are to carry each other's burdens. That is your law, it says in your word. That's what you intend for us. That's what you want for us. That we might have the weights lifted, the freedom in our spirit to rejoice that much more. Put a gip in our walk, Lord, spiritually. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.